And I want us to look tonight in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and I just want to kind of give some thoughts tonight. Just maybe I would, I know I've titled, I've Thought on My Ways, but I also want to for it to be kind of a reflection. I think it's healthy for us to kind of reflect on our life, reflect of our years. And so I believe the psalmist is doing this. I believe that, and we'll read it in just a few moments, but I think it's healthy for us to kind of think, you know, we can't change the past. We can't, you know, we can't do anything about the past, but I think we can learn from the past. And I also think we can, to reflect on just how good God is. And how He has brought us through so many things. He has helped us. He's encouraged us. He's corrected us. And you can't go wrong by centering your life and your focus around the Lord. And so that's what I want us to do tonight for just a little while before we go down and have fellowship together around the youth and their efforts tonight. So Psalm 119, beginning with verse 59. And I want us to think on these words. It says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. A lot there in those few verses, so I trust that we just kind of meditate on them tonight. But let's pray. Father, thank you for the good day that you blessed us with. We thank you for salvation. We thank you that it's all about Christ. It's all about Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, that there's nothing that that we can do to make it any better, that the finished work has been done on Calvary. And, Lord, we're so grateful for Jesus Christ and what it means. And so, Father, I just pray that you'll help us and strengthen us and encourage us tonight, Lord. We know that we can all reflect on our past. We can reflect on our life. But, Lord, we're still here. And so in our reflections, Lord, we just want to go forward and love you a little bit more, serve you a little bit more, and, Lord, praise you and thank you a little bit more. So, Father, I pray that you'll help me tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like us to consider tonight, I thought on my ways. But before we do that, something that as I was reading before I came here this evening, I was reading over this passage, praying, reading, and I noticed one thing found in verse 62 that says, and at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee. We've got a lot to be thankful for. We've got to, you know, we can look at our troubles and we can look at the things that's happening around our world. We can be discouraged. We can be troubled. We can be a lot of things. But if we're going to be those things, we need to add one thing which is important for all of us, and that's to be thankful. Be thankful for what God's done for us. Be thankful for what God has helped us through. Be thankful that we know Him and know Christ as our personal Savior. And be thankful that we've got a better place. We've got a lot to be thankful for, and I trust that we, although there's a lot of troubling things, there's a lot of things that's happening around us that concern us, that trouble us, that that can even discourage us. I was up yesterday. I was up in the upper part the western North Carolina on the way home, and we had stopped by a place called Water Rock Knob. And we wanted to go there, and it was so foggy, believe it or not. You know, I don't know, it's been really, really hot, but we actually saw temperatures around 64 degrees this past week. And so that's pretty cool, considering how hot it's been. But one thing that kind of discouraged me in that place of beauty, and it's a beautiful place, a lot of things, just a beautiful place up on top of a mountain. But it discouraged me a little bit because there was someone that was there that had a table set up, and the inscription on this table or this sign that says free Bibles. And I thought, well, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And then I read what they were representing, and they was representing JWs, Jehovah's Witnesses. And that concerned me because I was watching as I was just kind of looking at the view, and I was watching the different individuals that went by this table. And it's amazing to me how many people went by this table that was interested in what they had to say. They were interested and they took time to listen. And it really broke my heart because of the message that's being proclaimed. It broke my heart because of the falsehood that they were proclaiming, because we know tonight, and this is what we should be grateful for, we know tonight the only way to salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The only way to get to heaven is through His shed blood. Amen. The only way to have forgiveness is by Him. It's nothing that we can do. We can't earn it. We can't make it any better. We can't do anything to make it any better. We can't do anything. All we do is, as the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful it doesn't depend on me. I'm grateful it doesn't depend on my efforts, because my efforts would always fall short. It would always fall short because, you know, we have these days to where some days, and you've probably experienced them too, but there's some days you just don't feel good. There's days that I'll just put it this way. I'm glad that salvation is all of what Jesus Christ has done, and it's nothing of what I have done or what I can do, because there's some days I don't feel like doing anything. You know what I'm saying? Because the finished work is Jesus Christ. The finished work was on Calvary, and it's everything that He's done. It's everything that He's done and what was accomplished. So we should be grateful for that. And if we don't do anything else tonight, I want us to just simply thank God for salvation. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here, at midnight I will rise and give thanks unto Thee because of Thy righteous judgment. Thank God for that. Thank God for who He is, what He's done, and the impact that He's had on our lives. Even though we're not perfect, I'm thankful that when He looks at me, He doesn't look at my efforts, but He looks at the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for that, we can be grateful. But our message tonight is this. I thought on my ways. I thought on my ways. And I'd like us to consider that tonight. You know, we don't have to hit rock bottom. You know, when we think of a title such as this, we kind of have a tendency to think on maybe we've hit rock bottom with our life. Maybe we've gotten discouraged, or we've gotten troubled about something, and we've hit rock bottom with our life to actually think about our life. But you know, we don't have to hit rock bottom with our life to reflect on our life. Because actually, I think it's healthy for us to reflect on our life. And when we start reflecting on our life, then we're really seeing how good God is. You know, sometimes we look at our failures and we think about our years gone by. And the older I get, the more I do that. I think of I wished I would have done this different, or I wished I would have done that, or I wished I would have handled this differently. And I guess we've all at some point had those moments, but we can't change those. But what we can do is reflect on just how good God is. We can reflect on how He's brought us through. You know, we can look at our social failures. We can look at our financial failures. We can look at maybe some wrong decisions, and we can look at some things in our life that we could have done differently. But I don't believe the psalmist here is thinking about those. I really don't. I don't think the psalmist here is thinking about necessarily social failures or financial failures or anything like that. But I'm just thinking that this that we can take this psalm personally. And the psalmist, I think, was not thinking about the cares of this world and the things of this world, but I think the psalmist was just thinking about what he was in relation to God, and where we are in relation to God. So I want us to have just a few thoughts tonight that I hope can help us and that can encourage us. And the first thing as we think about our ways, or I thought on my ways with that thought, the first thing I want to think of is this. I thought of my deliverance. I thought of my deliverance. You know, every one of us, although we might not know the date, we might not know as far as calendar is concerned. I know in my case, I was saved on a Friday night. I know that I was 15 years old, and I know it was in the month of October. And so you can do the math. Sometimes I have to do that. The older I get, sometimes I do the math, and I have to count backwards to see how long I've been saved. But the point is, we each one should have a time in our life that we said yes to Jesus Christ. We each one should have a time in our life that we've said yes, that I, Lord, I forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and save me. And you know, I've told you before, but there was an older gentleman, he's in heaven now, that I used to know, and he used to tell me about his testimony and his life. And he got saved on the side of the interstate. He got under so much conviction that he pulled over to the side of the road and he said yes to Jesus. He wasn't in a church service, although there was conviction and there was preaching and there was, you know, the word of God was proclaimed to him. He wasn't in a church service, but he was under conviction. He pulled off on the side of the road and he just had to stop. He said he couldn't go any further. And he said yes to Jesus. Now, he passed away some years ago, but you know, based upon what the Bible says and based upon what his testimony says and based upon my testimony, I'm going to get to see him again. Amen. And so that's rejoicing thoughts. That's rejoicing that there are people that sit in these pews that we all know and that we all love that we're going to, one day it's going to be a reunion because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because of that deliverance, because of what he's done, because of those things. And in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "And you, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." You see, I'm thankful for that deliverance that we have in Jesus Christ. And so we can reflect on our deliverance. We can reflect on the fact that we're not a prisoner to bondage anymore. We're not a prisoner to that bondage. We're not a prisoner. You know, I wish I could tell you tonight that the first time I heard the gospel and the first time that I was brought under conviction by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, I wished I could tell you that that was the first time that I said yes to Jesus. But I'm like many of you. It wasn't the first time, but he kept nudging. He kept nudging. He kept nudging. And finally, on a time that I never even went to our youth meeting to be saved, but I was going for a hayride and for a cookout, but I know that they had a time of a message being proclaimed to this youth group. And it was just me. I was sitting there. There were probably about 20 kids there, 20 people my age, maybe a little younger. And I know that I bowed my head that night and received Jesus. He delivered me from that bondage. He delivered me from that bondage. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful. You know, I think of the children of Israel and how he delivered them from bondage. And I think of how that, you know, we can go back through the Old Testament, and you can see how time and time again, God delivered them. God delivered them. And it was all about what God did. You know, if it was depending upon us, we would mess it up. If salvation was depending upon us, if our heavenly home depended upon us, we would mess up every time. We would. That's just how we are. Look at the children of Israel. time and time again. God brought them out. God delivered them. They praised Him. And it wasn't too long after that that they started worshiping I think of the golden calf. And they started worshiping. And see, it's just that nature of that failure. But I'm so grateful, as I've already said before, I'm so grateful that when He looks at me, He looks at the blood of Jesus. He looks at what was accomplished at Calvary. You see, I'm thankful, and I thought on my deliverance. As it says here, I thought on my ways. I thought on my deliverance. You see, deliverance by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He gave everything to us. It wasn't anything that we could earn. It wasn't anything that we could buy. It wasn't anything that we could make any better. But He gave His all. He gave His all because He loves us that much. He gave us something that didn't depend upon us. He gave us something, and this is what I'm grateful for tonight. He gave us something that can't be taken away. There are so many individuals that believe that salvation can be taken away. I'm so grateful tonight that we are kept by the blood of Jesus. See, we reflect on these things. We reflect as we look at our life. We can look at our failures and we can look at our mishaps and we can look at our bad decisions and we can look at all these things and we can say, I wished I would have done this and I wished I would have done that. You know, I think it's time that we're grateful, that we're thankful and grateful for what Christ has done for us. I've thought of my deliverance. He does it all. He keeps us all. And we're here tonight, and I trust that we worship. And that's the reason I made mention of where it says at midnight, I rise and give thanks because of thy righteous judgments. I'm just giving thanks because of who He is. And I don't think we can go wrong there. Just be thankful for who He is. I thought on my ways of my deliverance. Now the question is, and there might be someone listening or watching tonight, and I do appreciate the ones that continue to watch online. But the question is, do you know that you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior? You know, that's where everything begins, is our relationship with Him. There's individuals that go to church, and there's individuals that try to do right, they try to live right, you know. Back years ago, there was a gentleman, and I won't say his name, but back years ago, there was a gentleman in our community, and he's passed away now, but he was probably one of the nicest individuals I've ever met in my life. Was always willing to help somebody, was always willing to encourage, and always, I never heard him say anything bad about anybody, and he was always a blessing to be around, but he didn't know Christ. And I found out that not long before he passed away, that he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. You see, that's what it all means. We're thanking God and we're remembering, and we thought of that deliverance that He gave us. And we should be grateful. But you know, there's also something else that we need to meditate on. You know, we can spend a lot of time talking about the deliverance. We can talk about how good God is. We can talk about that salvation is all about Him and not about us, but we're just the recipients of it. But there's also something else that we can think about, and that is, I thought on my defeats. I thought on my defeats. Now, I'm not talking about defeats as far as bad decisions we necessarily made in life. But I'm talking about defeats when it comes to worship. When it comes to worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, if any man work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You know, I want us to think on this thought tonight. I thought on my defeats. How many times have we been guilty? And I can raise my hand here in my life. How many times have I been guilty about careless worship? About careless worship. Sometimes we come and we fail to worship. We fail to give Him praise. We fail to thank Him. We fail to give Him His due as far as being grateful. How many times have we had a cold heart? You know, maybe our heart wasn't as tender as it needed to be, and we just had a cold heart about some things. What about the times that we've lacking in praise? You know, I think most of us would agree that there's been some times that I didn't praise Him when I needed to. You know, no matter what's going on in our life, you know, I remember when my dad died, it changed my world. I was 19 years old and he died instantly and it changed my world. I had to grow up really, really fast. And as bad as I was hurting, the absence and even still, that was in 1985. So, we're getting close to 40 years that he's been gone. And there's probably a day that I don't, think about him in some way. And I was thinking to myself, how in the world can I get through this? You know, when you're 19, your world stops. And I was thinking to myself, how in the world can I get through this? And I remember folks would come and that day that he passed away, there was folks that came and they came to the house and they were trying to offer prayer and encouragement and all those things. And so I was hurting. But you know, I look back on it now and I see in these 40 years how good God's been. How good God's been in my life. How good God has helped me through. And although that void is still there after 40 years, He's helped fill that void. And I felt His presence. And so even though that loss was there, and even though that emptiness was there, and even though when I went home, because I had just started working, when I went home from work and I went into the house, I knew that emptiness was there. God was too. And He helped me through every single day. He helped me through. He helped me through. And so I've been guilty of not worshiping the way that I should. And so I thought on my defeats, and that's the defeat in having the right kind of worship, having the right kind of heart, having the right kind of praise. But let me tell you something. Even though we might be guilty of that sometimes, it don't have to stay there. We can worship Him every day. We can praise Him every day. We can thank Him every day. And we can rejoice every day no matter what's going on in our life, because we know tonight that this is not our home. And I'm grateful for that. The way this world is changing and the way this world continues to be full of corruption and all these ideas and all these things that's going on, I'm grateful that this isn't our home. And so we worship Him because He's going to take us out of this stuff. He's going to take us out of this world, and we're going to be in that better place called heaven. You see, we've got a lot to be thankful for, but we must consider there's times that we failed Him. There's defeats in our life, but it don't have to continue. We just make it a daily routine to praise Him, to thank Him, and to be encouraged this evening. And then I thought of my disappointments. My disappointments. You know, I think about sometimes we have disappointments in life. And there's times that individuals have disappointed us. I'm going to read the first part of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the Bible says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And I won't continue that passage, but I just want us to see the picture of the fact that there's going to be disappointments. There's going to be disappointments, and I thought of disappointments here in this passage, and how that the writer here had some disappointments, and sometimes people will disappoint you. But I've got news for you tonight: God will never disappoint. Amen. The Lord will never disappoint you. There's going to be hurts, and we know that, and there's going to be disappointments, but the Lord will never let us down, and for that we should be grateful. We can think about those individuals and we can think about those times in our life that we've disappointed, but we don't need to stay there very long, but we need to look at our life and our own testimony of how God has never forsaken us. Never. He's never forsaken me, and I can stand here tonight and I can tell you, with a straight face and a clean heart that God never has forsaken me. Never. He's never done anything wrong in my life. He's done everything right. But when the slip-ups come, it's when I've done things wrong. It's when I've made the mistakes. It's when I've made the wrong decisions. It's when I've made some wrong choices. But He's never done it to me. And every time that I've made a bad choice or every time that I've done something that I knew that I shouldn't do, you know, He's always forgiven me. You know, there was a time in my life when I was, not long after my dad died, I mentioned my dad, but not long after my dad died, that I stopped going to church and I got away from the Lord. And even though, and some of you might can echo these thoughts, but even though I had gotten out of church, and even though I had made some bad decisions in my life, I still knew what was right and what was wrong. I still knew in my heart that I needed to be in church. I still knew in my heart, and I believe that was the Holy Spirit nudging me the whole time. Nudging me the whole time. Nudging me, encouraging me. And there would be people, not long after my dad had passed away, you know, I went several months, and I was going through a tough time in my life, and I had bought a motorcycle, and I used to ride them growing up. I rode them when I was young, even well before I got my license, and I actually went by there yesterday. We were at a place called Craggy Gardens, and it's on the western part of North Carolina, up on the Blue Ridge Parkway. And I was just before 20, I guess I was, and I was riding on the Blue Ridge Parkway. It was in the fall. I may have already turned 20, but I was looking at the fall leaves, and everything is going good. And I wasn't where I needed to be with the Lord, that's for sure. And an older gentleman, I guess he was around 80 then, an older gentleman pulled out in front of me. And I actually wrecked on the Blue Ridge Parkway. And I went by there yesterday, and I reflected on that as I went by. And I remember the Rangers, and they had called the ambulance. And honestly, I hit the car so hard, I didn't know if I was living or dying. But God put a person in my life and put a young couple in my life, and thank God that I was badly bruised up and no broken bones, but I was badly bruised up, and they had to dig the asphalt out of my knees and those type of things, and I was very sore for weeks to come. But God put a person in my life, and the motorcycle, the handlebars were crooked, and they said, "How are you going to get it home? How are you going to get home?" And I said, "Well, my sister lives in Asheville," which was just a few miles down, you know, down the road, down the parkway. And a gentleman said, "Listen," he said, "I've got motorcycles." He said, "Let me try to ride it, and you ride with my wife in her car." And so I was riding with her, and he was behind us, and it was kind of funny, really, the way he was trying to ride with crooked handlebars. And trying to keep the motorcycle straight. But she looked at me and as she was driving, and she said, "Listen," she said, "God's got a purpose for you." And she said, "You could have very easily been killed." And she said, "But God's got a purpose." And she started witnessing. Although I was saved, I wasn't where I needed to be. And so there are things in your life that we can reflect on. And although there's some disappointments in life, there's some hurts, God knows what He's doing. Amen. And God knows what we need in our life. And that was just a one step forward for me to be standing here tonight. That was part of His plan, putting that person, having that wreck, and putting that situation in my life. And I was in some pain. I hurt. But God allows things in our life sometimes to get us on the right path. And to reflect about His goodness. If we don't do anything else, we need to reflect on how good God is. Reflect on how good He's been to us. I thought on my ways, our defeats, our disappointments, and even, yes, our disobedience. And there's been some times in our life that we can probably say disobedience. And I want to look at it this way. Not on necessarily disobedience as far as, you know, when we think of disobedience, we think doing things wrong, you know, making wrong decisions, shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have done that. But I want to think of the disobedience as far as wasted time. God gives us one life. And my dad had in his wallet, and I still have it, I laminated it, but it says something like this: only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I think of the wasted time. I think of the wasted talents. I think of the wasted gift of life. And I can raise my hand, and in my years, there's been times in my life that I can honestly say it's been some wasted time. When it comes to serving Him, loving Him, worshiping Him, doing those things that's right, doing those things that He would be pleased with, yes, I'm guilty about those things, about being disobedient. You see, when we think on our life, when we think on our ways, we need to look at every aspect of our life. We need to look at every stone, everything that needs to be turned over, every corner in our life, every hidden closet, every door. We need to open them all up, and we need to reflect on where we are. I thought on my ways, my disobedience. And then lastly tonight, and I saved this one to last because it's near and dear to our hearts, and that is this: I thought on my Savior. I thought on my Savior. There's a verse here that I'm going to read that we all could quote, but I want to read it because it's just, it means something to us. And I hope it means something to you tonight, but it's found in Romans 5 verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, I thought on my Savior. He's the giver of life. You know, life is a gift. I believe that. Life is a gift. But life also is a gift when it comes to our salvation and what He's done. You know, I don't know anyone that loves me, that could even begin to love me like the Lord Jesus, that loves me just as I am, that loves me, that knows me better than anyone knows me, and still loves me. We should be grateful for tonight. We should be grateful of our Savior. I can tell you personally what God has done in my life, and you can tell me personally what God has done in your life. But I can say this: He took someone and changed their life. I wouldn't be standing here tonight. I'm kind of like the preacher. Preacher talks about how that he struggled in school and everything. I'm talking about I was one of these individuals that didn't like to read and didn't like to do anything. And I remember in fourth and fifth grade when they went around the room, and we would be reading maybe a book or something, and everybody took their turn to read. And I learned, and the teacher got pretty wise to me, but every time it got just about, I would time it. I knew how much each one of them would read. And so I would actually take the book and I would knock it off my desk. And then I would fumble through the pages, and then it was like I couldn't find my place, so she would go to the next person. And that worked for a couple of times. And then she said, "We'll wait on you." But if it wasn't for our Lord and Savior, I wouldn't be standing here before you tonight. If it wasn't for our Lord and Savior, I don't believe that you would be here tonight worshiping Him. You know, it's good to reflect. And it's good to reflect on our ways. Just like the psalmist says, "I thought on my ways." But make sure as we think on our ways, make sure it ends with the Savior and what He's done for us. We have so much to be grateful for. We have so much. You know, we can look at so many things, and we can We can wish things was different, and we can wish things were, you know, we can go through a wish list. But let's talk about the things we do have. And Jesus should be at the top of our list, because we have Jesus. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have everything that you need tonight. This is not our home. And we're going to one day be in the presence of Jesus. And although we might go one at a time, if I go before you, I believe that you're going to see me at the feet of Jesus because of what He's done. I thought on my ways. I don't know if you have a need tonight or you just want to come and thank the Lord tonight. Listen, it begins with worship. It begins with praise. And just like that psalmist says, He rose at midnight to thank Him. We should never be guilty of taking what we have in Jesus Christ for granted. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for the fact that we can think on our ways. We thank You tonight that we can think on our life. And yes, we can reflect on our careless worship. We can reflect on our failures. We can reflect on our disappointments. But Lord, we need to focus and reflect on just how good You are and just how wonderful You are. And although the cares of this life trouble us and they discourage us and they sometimes even try to defeat us, help us, Lord, to worship You. Help us to love You more. And although life changes and our bodies change and things change, help us to love You more, help us to worship You more, and help us to praise You more, and most importantly, help us to thank You more for just simply what Jesus Christ has done in our life. We ask Your blessings on this invitation. Lord, maybe someone wants to come and just say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for saving me. Help us to be willing to come and help us to be willing to reflect. And Lord, we just thank You. Bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.